Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
Today, Saturday, November 26th, is the feast of St. Sylvester, abbot and founder of the Sylvestrians, and of St. Laurent of Port-Maurice, a Franciscan priest. And these are today's headlines. Pope Francis renews his appeal to foster fraternity and encounter in an address to religious superiors. The papal almoner speaks out about the church's charitable activity in and around the Vatican. And Lebanon's prime minister insists on the need for structural reform to recover from the country's financial crisis. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Our top story today, reiterating his appeal to foster a culture of fraternity and encounter, and to be peacemakers in a world fragmented by wars and division, Pope Francis addressed religious and urged them to bear witness to this call. In remarks to participants in the just-ended Assembly of the Union of Superiors General on Saturday, the Pope said peacemaking is the responsibility of each and every person, and it especially concerns those who are consecrated. Linda Bordoni has this report.
Noting that the theme of the just-ended Assembly of the Union of Superiors General was called to be artisans of peace, the Pope explained that the peace that Jesus gives is different from the peace that the world gives. In these times, when we hear the word peace, he said, we mainly think of a no-war or end-of-war situation, a state of tranquility and well-being. In the biblical context, he explained, the peace of Jesus is first of all his gift, the fruit of charity. It is part of the harmonious whole of relationships with God, with oneself, with others, and with creation. It is also the experience of God's mercy, forgiveness, and benevolence, which makes us capable, in turn, of exercising mercy, forgiveness, and rejecting all forms of violence and oppression. Thus, he urged the religious to become masters of the craft of peacemaking. A craft to be practiced with passion, patience, experience, and tenacity, sowing peace with daily actions, with attitudes and gestures of service, fraternity, dialogue, and unceasingly invoking the gift of peace in their prayers. The second part of Pope Francis's discourse was dedicated to another characteristic aspect of consecrated life, synodality. This process, the Pope explained, in which we are all called to enter as members of God's holy people. Consecrated persons with their witness, he concluded, can bring much to the church in this process of synodality, provided they are the first to live it, to walk together, to listen to each other, to value the variety of gifts, to be welcoming communities. I'm Linda Bordoni.
Pope Francis on Saturday also met with members of the Italian law enforcement agency dealing with organized crime, the Direzione Centrale Anticrimine, or DIA. Addressing some 170 participants at the audience in the Clementine Hall, the Pope thanked the agency for its work and remembered the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, which was observed on November 25th. Pope Francis stressed the crucial importance of a joint effort by public institutions and all social actors, not only in law enforcement, but also in prevention to eradicate this pervasive scourge. Lisa Singarini tells us more.
Pope Francis started his address to the Central Anti-Crime Directorate by thanking the agency both for the work it carries out and for asking to meet him one day after the UN International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. He noted that the many women working in the DIA are a great resource in helping and supporting women victims of gender violence. Referring to the agency's law enforcement mission, the Pope also highlighted the urgent need to improve the Italian judiciary system, making it more efficient, so as to ensure that the victims are granted timely justice and reparation. Recalling the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, the Pope stressed the crucial importance of a joint effort by public institutions and all social actors, not only in law enforcement, but also in prevention. In this regard, he drew attention to the need to support families where gender violence often occurs and has further increased during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Pope further highlighted the responsibilities of the media, which indirectly contribute to gender violence by promoting cultural models that obey to the criteria of success, self-assertion, and competition. The only way to counteract these models, he said, is an education that places the person at the centre. This is why, the Pope concluded, schools, sports groups, oratories and associations must offer today's girls and boys stories of women who have managed to escape the tunnel of violence and can help open their eyes against the dangers hidden behind the false models of success. I am Lisa Zengarini.
Also on Saturday, the Holy See Press Office has released a statement noting the surprise and regret of the Holy See upon receiving news of an installation ceremony that took place on November 24th in Nanchang, wherein Bishop Giovanni Peng Weizhou of Yuzhang was installed as auxiliary bishop of Zhengji, a diocese not recognized by the Vatican. The statement notes that this event has not taken place in conformity with the spirit of dialogue that exists between the Vatican and the Chinese parties and what has been stipulated in the provisional agreement on the appointment of bishops of 22 September 2018. The press statement also notes that, according to reports received, the civil recognition of Bishop Peng was preceded by prolonged and intense pressure by the local authorities. In awaiting appropriate communication about the matter from authorities, the statement concludes by expressing the Holy See's hopes that similar episodes will not be repeated, and it reaffirms its complete willingness to continue the respectful dialogue concerning all matters of common interest. In other news from the Vatican, the papal almoner has offered his prayers for a homeless man who died earlier this week in the colonnade area of St. Peter's Square. Cardinal Konrad Krajewski spoke with Vatican News about the incident and also about the Vatican and the cities of Rome's charitable services for the poor in the area. Thaddeus Jones tells us more.
The 61-year-old homeless man, Burkhard Scheffler, died seeking shelter under the colonnade of St. Peter's Square, with the cold weather contributing to his death. He's one of many the poor people helped by the Dicastery for the Service of Charity. He'd been offered a warm place to sleep, but refused the gesture, choosing instead to stay on the streets. Pope Francis yesterday offered his prayers for him and for all those without a home. Cardinal Konrad Krajewski is the prefect of the Dicastery for the Service of Charity, also known as the Papal Almoner. He said that Burkhard Scheffler was born in 1961 in Germany, and he recalled that he, along with many poor in the area around St. Peter's Basilica, receive daily food, hot meals, and visits from volunteers. The services provided by the Vatican and Rome's charitable outreach also include dormitories, showers and bathroom facilities, and medical assistance. The colder temperatures and rain in Rome in recent days aggravated Burkhard's already delicate health conditions. Vatican News spoke to the papal almoner, Cardinal Krajewski, about the sad incident and the work that he and others carry out every day. Cardinal Krajewski said he received a call when he was in Assisi about the death of Burkhard, and in Assisi he prayed for him. He also spoke to Pope Francis about the case, and he said that despite this sad incident, the good work they're trying to carry out goes on. In fact, every night volunteers go out to visit the poor who are living on the streets there. He says that in the name of the Holy Father, they help all the poor without asking for any documents or asking anything of them. They take them into the Vatican facilities that are in the area. The facilities for help include the Sisters of Mother Teresa in the Vatican. They also have a clinic in one of the colonnade areas where 1,050 poor people are served every month, the majority of whom are homeless. Doctors are there to visit with them, where they're also given medicine when needed. Cardinal Krajewski says in conclusion that his goal is to empty the Holy Father's charitable account so that all the poor might be helped with all they have. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
In world news, the Prime Minister of Lebanon has said his country will not be able to get out of its financial crisis without authorities implementing structural reforms required by the International Monetary Fund. Nathan Morley has the latest.
Over the last few years, Lebanon has been witnessing the worst financial crisis in its history amid a shortage of foreign currency reserves, which caused the collapse of the Lebanese pound and a steep rise in inflation. Speaking this week, the Lebanese Prime Minister, Najib Mikati, said that a deal with the IMF would help Lebanon attract revenues in foreign currencies. Compounding matters, though, the outbreak of the coronavirus and the Beirut port explosions caused hundreds of thousands of citizens to lose their jobs. That sent unemployment spiraling to over 40%. The situation has also prompted the World Food Programme, or WFP, to allocate $5.4 billion to provide Lebanon with food support from 2023 to 2025. The food aid will be distributed amongst vulnerable families and Syrian refugees. Meanwhile, a national vaccination campaign against cholera is continuing after the country was hit hard by the disease. Though the situation is now stabilizing, over 500,000 doses of vaccine are being administered. The current outbreak is the first in around three decades, reflecting the ongoing decline in the economic situation and poor access to clean water and proper sanitation services. Cholera is an infection spread through water and food contaminated because of inadequate wastewater management and poor hygiene practices. Elsewhere in the country, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, UNRWA, has called for more support to help the organization assist vulnerable Palestinian refugees amid the deteriorating financial situation in Lebanon. According to their latest report, around 93% of Palestinian refugees in Lebanon are currently living in poverty. The UNWRA Commissioner, Philip Lazzarini, said that the situation regarding Palestinian refugees was extremely alarming. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Finally, the Colombian government and the National Liberation Army, the ELN, are inviting a family of nations to help them reach a peace settlement and resolve more than half a century of festering conflict. James Blears has this report.
The ELN and the Colombian government are inviting a new mini-league of nations to be helpers, facilitators and mediators during their peace talks, which have again started after almost a three-year hiatus. This time the location is beleaguered Venezuela. With the possible philosophy that the safety in numbers rather than polarization with just a few, those invited include the United States, Brazil, Mexico, Cuba, Chile, Norway, Germany, Switzerland and Spain. They're even asking Washington to send a special envoy to sit at the talks table to help mediate and see fair play done during the ongoing discussions. 6 years ago this week, the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, the FARC, laid down their weapons, signed a peace agreement with the government, and have since evolved into a left-wing political party. President Gustavo Petro himself, a former M19 urban guerrilla, was inaugurated in August, and he's vowing to fulfill his election pledges, which include bringing about and achieving a lasting peace in Colombia, which hasn't known it in more than six decades. The violence has killed and wounded tens of thousands, while millions more have been displaced, destabilizing vast swathes of the population. The opportunity for a Council of Nations to help resolve all of this is a reality on the horizon. For Vatican Radio, James Blears reporting.
And that brings us about to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. Many thanks this evening go to our technicians in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells.